Good morning. Thank you all for being here. Those of you online, thanks for tuning in with us. My name's Dove. If I haven't met you, I'm one of the pastors here. And we're going through a series on the life of King David. And he is going to become king eventually. I hate to spoil that, but we are going through his life. And the hope is to learn how to draw strength from God. Because life is full of challenges. And each of us have our own challenges. And God is a source of strength in the midst of those. And sometimes I think we wish, our hope is that if I can have faith in God, he'll just take away all the challenges, all the hardship, all the pain. But instead of taking those away, God gives us strength through those. And the example of David in those is really powerful. And I hope that you each, as we go through this series, gain at least something that allows you to really walk in strength through the hardship of life. And what we see in David's life is that that strength wasn't from some amazing characteristic in him. It was because he was able to connect to the source of strength, which is God. And he had this amazing relationship with God, enough that he was called a man after God's heart. And we get a snapshot not only into his life, but into that intimate relationship that he had with God through the Psalms that he wrote. And so we have these songs that David wrote to God. And I don't know if any of you have written songs before. To write a song takes a lot of work. And you rewrite it and revise it and you do all this. And then I'm imagining he probably sang some of these songs hundreds of times. And so it was this dynamic part of this living relationship with the living God who gave him strength. And in our lives, as we walk through the challenges of life, God offers us strength. And nobody gets the choice of just missing out on all hardship and all challenges. But we have an opportunity to connect to the source of strength. And even as parents, I think that's a really just important thing to realize, is that we cannot spare our kids from the troubles and hardships of life. But how could we strengthen them to walk through those? And it's amazing how much life is full of pain, and yet I don't think as parents we even think about that. Like, my goal as a parent is to strengthen my kids for the pain of life that's going to hit them right in the face. And I think for a lot of us, like, I don't even know how. How do I find strength in the middle of the challenges of life? And so I just want to review a little bit of some of the topics that we've looked at so far. And so from those previous lessons that we've looked at in David's life, here's what we've seen so far. The first week we saw that we find strength in God by seeking God's favor, looking to him instead of being obsessed with the opinions of people. Because God's opinion is valuable. God's favor is valuable. The opinion of people is a shifting sand that will end up burying you eventually. The second week we looked at that we find strength in God by becoming secure in who we are because of this honest connection to God. That honest connection to God gives us a security. We know who we are. And we can walk through the difficulties, face the giants in our lives. The third week we looked at how we find strength in God by setting our hearts to praise a good God who sees, who responds, and who makes all things right. Enough so that in the middle of crazy hardship, David could stop and just praise God because he knew he was good and that he did see. On the fourth week, we looked at how we find strength in God as we are waiting patiently, hoping in God through the challenges of our current place in life. Rather than just saying, man, I just got to get out of here and get into a different, you know, the grass is greener, find a different circumstance. Like, no, wait where you're at God is there. And in the fifth week, we looked at how we find strength in God by developing loyal, sacrificial friendships that point each other toward God, and the power of those to give us strength as we point one another, hey, God, don't forget, you know, don't lose hope. And so this week, we're going to look at how we find strength in God by allowing God to comfort us. And so this might be a little challenging. I think it's different from my culture. I don't know. Some of these others, like, oh, yeah, I would have heard that or taught that. Like, this one's kind of new to me in some ways. But God's comfort brings us peace and renews our strength so that we can keep moving forward with joy. And we can allow God to comfort our pain. That's kind of the big thing for today, is will you allow God to comfort your pain? Is that a possibility? And so why don't we pray, and then we are going to just pick up and keep looking at David's life. So, Father God, thank you. Thank you that you are the source of strength. God, I pray that you would grow each one of us with roots that go down deep, deep into you, into your love and your faithfulness, your power and your goodness, into your presence, your unfailing care for us, that when the droughts come, when the storms come, we have that foundation. I ask that you would grow us, God, if there's a place in us that needs to open up towards you, that is closed off, I pray you would open those parts up. I pray that you would give us soft hearts towards you. I pray that you would speak to us, and whatever you want to share, share it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so King Saul came to this place where he hated David, was jealous of him, wanted to kill him. And so David fled, and he went to Gath in Philistia. So he's there in enemy territory. And then he gets word that he should leave, so he goes to the cave at Adullam, and he's running through the desert of Judah over here by the Dead Sea in Gedi. And he has a couple opportunities to kill Saul, which he doesn't take. And finally, he's like, enough of this. He's going to find me and kill me. So I'm just going to go back and live in enemy territory. He won't look for me there. So he went back to Gath, and the ruler there said, you can stay at Ziklag. And so David and his people are down in Ziklag. And so that's kind of their town. And from there, they're doing like these raids that nobody knows about down towards the Amalekites. And so then the Philistines, they all gather. They're going to have a huge battle against the Israelites. And so they all meet up here at Aphek. And so David goes along with these other lords and kings or whatever, rulers of the Philistines, to meet up here. And the main ruler is like, wait a second. What's David doing here? We've heard people sing the songs about how he's killed tens of thousands of his enemies. And the ruler of Gath is like, no, he's totally loyal. He's awesome. He'll do great. And he's like, no. If he gets a chance, he will not kill Saul. In fact, he's going to help him. And so this is kind of where we pick up. And so the ruler of the Philistines is like, no way, so they send him back. I've wondered, like, what would David have done? I think he would have totally betrayed the Philistines because he was still loyal to King Saul. But we don't know, because so he gets sent back. So it's a 3 days march from Aphek down to Ziklag. And so they come marching back home to Ziklag. And that's where we're going to look at this history and kind of pick it up in 1 Samuel 30. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag, and they had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. That's awful. After a three-day march, you're exhausted. I can only imagine coming to find your entire town burned to the ground and all the people that you love are gone. You don't know if they're alive. You don't know what's happened to them. Just the horrific, intense, insane amount of pain that would be in that moment. So, you guys already have and you're looking ahead, but what in the world would you do? What would David and these mighty men do? Obviously, if there was an army there, they would fight them. But there's not. They don't even know where they went. And so this is just amazing to me. So it says, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Yeah, that's amazing. And that's what we're trying to figure out. How do we find strength in God? And I think it's amazing that, first of all, these guys knew how to weep together out loud. They stopped and they wept. I don't know if you've wept till you had no strength left. I guess I've never done it after a 3 days march. It might not take as long. But that's a lot of weeping. And then some of the guys are just angry. And in their anger, what do they want to do? They want to kill David. Like, David, it was your dumb idea to go fight with the Philistines. If it wasn't for you, this wouldn't have happened. And David's distressed. Okay, not only did I just lose all of this, but now my people want to kill me. And he found strength in God. And I think part of, at least the takeaway I have, and based on some of the Psalms we're going to look at, the strength that David found was comfort. David found comfort in God. In the midst of that, God comforted him. And so, I'm kind of a visual thinker. I don't know if this is helpful or worse for some of you guys, but I have a little schematic of this. This is my understanding of this. So, in life, we have hurts and injustices that happen. So we have those pains that go, ouch, and those injustices that go, that was not fair. That was not right. I totally got taken advantage of. And really, I think hurts and injustices are so tied together that who knows if it's really an injustice or just a hurt or, you know, like, was that really an offense? Well, it hurt. I don't know if it was. Anyways, it's all tied together. And from that produces anger. So if you have anger, if you're experiencing anger in your life, it's actually a sign that there was something that hurt or that wasn't just. And that's what anger comes from. That's our human emotion. And that is a normal human thing, and this is not evil. It's just human nature. But then what happens is we have a choice in that. And some of the things we do in anger, the Bible talks very strongly against anger because of what we do with anger. So one of the paths we can do with our anger is to seek revenge or to attack. So I have been hurt and I am going to get somebody. They are going down, sucker. Yeah. And so that would be one path of that. Another is less active. It's the passive route. I'm going to take that anger. I'm not going to do anything with it. But over time, it turns into resentment and bitterness. And so, me being such a good guy, I rarely go on the active route. I just passively take all that stuff, all that anger, and let it turn into resentment and bitterness. And if you didn't know, that was sarcastic. There is nothing good about resentment and bitterness. There is nothing healthy or godly about it. But sometimes it feels to me like, oh, I didn't actively express my anger. I just let it simmer in this passive way. But God offers us a different path that we can actually have resolution. And if we have resolution from those hurts and injustices, then we can find peace. And so in this story, after this time, after David finds strength, they actually hunt down these Amalekites. They find their wives and kids. Nobody's killed. They get them all back. There's this amazing resolution. I imagine everybody there has a sense of peace after that. But there's a lot of times in life where we don't get resolution, where that injustice is not made right, where that hurt is not addressed, where it's still there. And I praise God and I look forward to after this life when Christ restores all things and everything is resolved and everything will be made right. The amount of peace in that time in heaven together is going to be incredible. But in the meantime, there's a lot of things that are not resolved. And if you think of your life, I'm sure there's plenty of hurts and injustices that have not been resolved. And so what do we do with those? The path is not to walk in anger on those. I think a lot of times what we do is we take our hurts and injustices and we take all the anger that comes from those and we just try to make it go away. I do not want this anger. I do not want this pain. I'm going to find a box. I'm going to hide it away. I'm going to put it away. And if I have a hole somewhere, I'm going to bury the box. And I'm not ever going to look at that again. And these are ways to cope with our pain. It doesn't actually resolve it, but it copes with it. And so these are really important. It's actually really important that we're able to cope with our pain. Because sometimes it feels like it's going to swallow us alive, destroy us. I'm going to go through a list. You might connect with some of these more than others. For me, I have certain ways. So we might try to just minimize those. Sometimes we make jokes about them. That helps. Jokes about our pain and suffering. We can intellectualize it, just like rationalize it, smooth it away. Yeah, add some Bible verses and spiritualize it, make it really spiritual. Sometimes we can just shut it down, like, I refuse to feel ever again. Sometimes we can just ignore them, drown them out. Distraction's probably my favorite. I like to just distract myself, so I'm not aware of those hurts and injustices or any of the anger. Some of the great places to distract ourselves, some are much worse than others, but we can distract ourselves with food, entertainment. My personal favorite is just busyness. If I get super busy, then I don't have to deal with those things. Some substances, there's lots of substances that we have that we can turn to that ease that pain, and then they usually end up becoming addictive and really hurting us. Sometimes we just turn to work or trying to solve other people's problems, so we don't have to look at ours. Sometimes we put all that energy into blaming others, blaming God. Sometimes just withdrawing away from people or trying to control people. Or just if trying to make people happy. If I can make everybody happy, then my pain goes away. I've tried that one a lot. It's one of my favorites. Sometimes we just wallow in the pain. We just become a victim, say it's just how life's always going to be. Maybe just let them define us. And so there comes a time when those things we do to cope actually don't help us anymore. And at those times, it leaks out of the box. The box, you know, the anger starts to crawl out and the hurt starts to crawl out. And then we're back kind of having to look at it again, maybe put some locks on it, maybe help it out. But what I really see here with David is that David was able not just to cope with the challenges of his life, but he was able to really bring them to God and find comfort, and to really just bring these right to the face of God and receive from him that gift of comfort. So I want to ask you guys today, right now I'm not even saying how you would do that, but would you be willing to tell God, I will let you be the one to comfort my pain. You are my comforter. Would you consider that as an appropriate response, that God wants to comfort you? That's my proposition. Would you allow God to comfort those pains that nobody knows about? Or maybe that you've considered that they're too small. They're not really worth being comforted. They don't really matter. I think here's a really hard one. Would we allow God to comfort our hurts when it seems like he's the one that caused them? Or at least he's the one that allowed them. Would we let the person who caused us pain be the one to comfort us and meet us in the middle of those? Maybe even the God who we've judged as not caring, would we allow him to care and to comfort our pain? And so right now I'm not really talking about how or anything, but that's the main thing I just want to offer today, is would we be willing to say, yes, God, I will let you comfort my pain? I want to share a tiny bit about just some of my hardship. It's a weird thing to share your hardship with others because no heart knows another person's hardship except that person. No one can ever really know it or connect with it. And sometimes it can have a sense of it's really trivial or it's really too big or who knows. But anyways, with the fear of it being judged or the fear of it causing a sense of judgment, one of the things that I walked through in my life that was challenging is when I was in third grade, my parents got divorced at my mom's request and my dad moved away. And man, I missed my dad so much. He was my first hero, and he's always been my biggest hero. And I remember back in the day, we used to listen to the radio. And on the radio, Chicago had a song, and I put a cassette in this little machine, and I put record. And you could record stuff off the radio, and I recorded a song from Chicago. And I remember after my dad coming to visit and leaving, and I would just play this song and just weep. And you guys might know this song. I think it's called You're the Inspiration or something like that. But Peter Cetera's got a really awesome voice to sing it. And then he says, you know our love was meant to be the kind of love that lasts forever, and I want you here with me from tonight until the end of time. You should know, everywhere I go, always on my mind, in my heart, in my soul, baby. I don't know, that didn't really work out, but the rest of it did. You're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration. You bring feeling to my life. You're the inspiration. I want to have you near me. I want to have you hear me saying, no one needs you more than I need you. And it put words to what I was really, really felt. And my dad got remarried and he was, you know, caring for someone else's needs. And I was like, I need you. And when my dad, a few years ago, got cancer and passed away. But while he was sick, I played that song as like, Dad, I'd love to just share this song with you. That's really reminds me of you and it's meant a lot, and played it with him and just cried, shared it. And in that process, I felt like God met me in that pain. He was able to see it, and he was able to be tender with it and able to love it. And I also did a lot of distraction. You know, I coped and I put a lot of it in the box. and that's how it goes. But when we allow God to have it, he's able to do something with it. And so I want to share a little bit, how does God comfort our pain? The thing is, God is God. I'm not prescribing some kind of like formula or some kind of idea. God is a living being. And we can actually have a relationship with him. And the way that he comforts you might be completely different than how he comforts me. But some of the things that I've seen that God does, and maybe he would do with your pain, is that he speaks into it and he says, hey, I see that. I understand that. And God says, that matters to me. I care about your pain. You matter to me. And God sometimes, maybe he says, I was with you in that. And I've been through that. And I know what that feels like. And I'm close to you as you walk through that. And maybe God speaks that comfort into that, that says, my child, I still have promises for you. This will end. This is not terminal. This is not the last word. I will make things right. I will bring resolution. I will bring newness. Maybe he speaks a promise that he will never leave you or forsake you. Something that just that you need. And it's amazing to me how God is able to comfort us and give us things that we need. I feel like one of the things that God has really spoken to me is, my love is sufficient for you. And to know my love is sufficient for you. It is enough. It will sustain you if you let it. And so I think on the other side is, okay, how do we let God comfort us? Does that mean we have to be like David and his men and like lay on the floor and cry until we have no more strength? Does that mean we have to steal some cheesy love song off the radio and turn it into some kind of personal song? And again, I just say there's not a defined process. But if we've made up our mind that we will let God comfort us, we'll figure out how to bring it to him. And one of the amazing things that David and people, other folks did is they wrote songs about their pain. And they're called laments. And they wrote these laments. And there's 74 psalms that we know David wrote. And over half of those are laments. And so these laments are these expressions of sorrow or pain or hardship, just giving them to God. Okay, here's my lament. I pour it out to you, God. And I want to read a couple of those. Look at those. I think on the back of your handout is Psalm 6. I picked a couple of the shorter laments. Psalm 6, for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. What an amazing expression. There's so much in there. What an honest heart. And what a reliance on God. it's not just there's this pain and there's nothing else. It's there's this pain and there's a God who is able to bring something into it. And David was able to put those together. I really appreciated just looking at what are some of the elements of a lament. I want to encourage you guys that it might bless some of you to write your own lament. And if you know how to sing, sing it. If you're a poet, just write it. If it's just phrases, that's fine. If it's just bullets. But we see, and again, the laments, there's not like a formula, but there's a pattern in them. There's this protest, this honest telling to God of what is wrong. You can see it all over the Psalms. There's this petition. God, here's what I want you to do about it. And there's this praise. God, I will trust you. I have seen your faithfulness, and I will trust you. Even though I don't know what's happening in the darkness. I appreciated this, what this person said. The lament psalms aren't about letting emotions go wild. That's not the idea of it. But they are means of bringing these wild emotions to God himself. Let's look at one more psalm. Psalm 13 is a very short psalm, but it says, for the director of music, a psalm of David, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. That is cool. You can see those parts. You can see that protest telling God what's wrong. You can see that petition. God, would you please help me here? And you see that praise. God, I trust you. You are good in the middle of it. And I think for some of us, reading some of the laments, if you're walking through something really hard, is would be a great place to be. Set to music is even better. Music just adds such a cathartic, awesome thing. I have a friend, he's a pastor in Minnesota. Some of you guys know Mark Darling. And he wrote songs to God as he was walking through some really hard things. And he would sing them every single morning. He would get his guitar out, and he would sing these songs that he wrote, and just every morning. And he just said it ministered to his spirit every morning. And it helped him walk through some amazingly hard things and not just totally toss in the towel and give up and run away. And so the beautiful thing I've seen in my own life as I've allowed God to comfort me, that he has, and on the other side of that is joy and peace. And I think some of the things that have been smaller in my life have been harder to seek comfort in. Like the big ones are easier. It's like, well, yeah, I bring this to God. I grieve it. But some of the smaller ones, like when I was bullied on the bus, it's like I didn't know how to grieve that or what to do with that. I just like absorbed it and hid it and tried to hide and learned how to be nice and, you know, all these other things. But to learn how to bring them to God, when we process things in the presence of a loving God, he brings healing to them. And so, in God's timing, when he wants, again, I think our coping mechanisms are a great thing. They help us. But there's a time when we need to kind of go ahead and face those things in our life. And so it's time to open up and process that before a loving God. And in my life, I've seen, and I see this strength in David, as you bring those hurts before God and just bring them before him, that he's able to take those and just bring down peace and healing, comfort. And it's a process. It's not like one moment. David's going to write a lot more laments in the next chapter. He's going to be writing another lament. The pain of his life is not over, but he's able to find strength and keep going. And my prayer is that each of you will be able to find strength and keep going as God comforts us. So why don't we pray? Thank you, God. I thank you that our pain is not too big for you. God, I sometimes feel just overwhelmed, like it's just going to destroy me. And yet I just acknowledge that you are bigger. God, in your gentleness, would you teach us how to bring all of it to you? God, I pray you would speak comfort into every heart that needs it this morning. In Jesus' name.